The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
You know, there are things that are convictions versus preference. Convictions are the essentials of the Christian faith on which we all agree, like the deity of Christ and the blood atonement. And then there are things that are preferential. And in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." Well, we'll explain that further and continue in the book of Colossians. This is Alex McFarland along with Pastor Bert Harper, and we are so honored that you're listening to today's edition of Exploring the Word, and we invite you to get a copy of God's Word if you're at a place you can do that, and follow along as we continue in the wonderful New Testament book of Colossians. Bert, I've read it personally many times, taught through it a time or two, but I love the book of Colossians.
I do as well. And again, I believe all the Bible's a book for our times, but especially Colossians, because right here you're dealing in verses 16 and 17 with, I would call it legalism. In other words, they're saying, this is what you need to do. And then in verses 18 and 19, you'll find out they're dealing with a little bit of mysticism. Oh, man, this, you can go deeper. You don't have to, you can get in touch with the angels and they'll show you things. And then verses 20 through 23, he gets on the area of, I would call it asceticism, trying to, if I can beat myself and all these things that I can, you know, punish my body, then I'll be more spiritual. And all three of those, it seems like, was involved in the church at Colossae in their false teaching. And there's a little bit of that going on today. So I think people will be benefited by the lessons that we look at today, Alex. I'm praying we can do that. But the thing that verse 17, can you hug a shadow?
No, that's a great question. To my knowledge, you cannot hug a shadow.
And so what you want to do, shadows are good to dwell in. When I was a kid working on the farm out in the fields, and we was always proud to get close to the end because that's where usually some trees may be, and we'd have shadows. We'd also, man, when a big, darker cloud that wasn't necessarily a rain cloud would come along and block the sun from being in the field. Oh, that feels so good. But listen, shadows to worship? No, you want what I would say, you want the real thing, don't you?
Well, you really do. You really do. And, you know, as we get into this, like I say, there are convictions and there are preferences. And one of the dangers of legalism is when people want to impose on others the things that are their own personal preferences. I don't use this term lightly, but sometimes even though we're 2,000 years removed from the time of the Pharisees, Pharisees still exist. And here's one of the things, you can never please a Pharisee. Can you really, Bert?
You cannot. Now, 16 follows 15. Now, notice what it has here. This is what Christ has done. He's disarmed principalities and powers. He's taken away their weaponry. The second part, he made a public spectacle of them. He showed everybody Jesus Christ dying on the cross and then rose again the third day. He showed everyone and put death in its place. And then thirdly, triumphed over them in it. He had them not equal with him, but always defeated. And therefore, what do you do? He's given us what we need. Christ is what we need. And all these feast days and festivals and new moons and Sabbaths, you may want to keep them, but they really probably won't add anything to you that has not taken place inwardly. If you're doing it outwardly and it hasn't taken place inwardly, Alex, it's not really going to benefit you spiritually, is it?
It's not about rituals. It's about a relationship.
Amen.
You know? And being saved is not religion, but reality, having that relationship. And by the way, verse 8 and verse 18 are so similar. Very famously, Colossians 2:8 says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit." And then verse 18, "Let no man beguile you of your reward." And what's interesting is the word beguile. We think of like being tricked or being deceived, but it, in the original language, it really means disqualify you.
It does. Yes.
And do you know that's a very similar wording to those that God turns over to a reprobate mind, a mind that can no longer do what it was designed to do. A reprobate mind, and you don't hear this preached on a whole lot, reprobation. You know, sometimes I used to hear my mother or my grandmother say, "Oh, you know, somebody is an old reprobate." But actually, that's a very important theological term. And there are people that so long reject truth, they get to the point they can't tell truth anymore. They can't tell right from wrong. Their mind and their conscience is disqualified and can no longer do what it was designed to do, which is recognize truth and lead us into it. Well, in verse 18 of Colossians 2, the beguiled person who's been disqualified of their reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Now, this is after, you know, it had been talking about in verses like 13 about being circumcised through faith. And we've got a spiritual heart, you know, born again. The mind that has gone to human ideas rather than God's revealed truth is not spiritual but fleshly, and is not in accord with God's revelation, but has been beguiled. And here's the sad thing, Bert. Those that are beguiled and follow error, they in turn eventually beguile others.
They do, Alex. Notice your reward. This really sounds like maybe a race. At the end of the race, you may have looked like you've won the race, you've come in first, but you were disqualified because you did not run according to. Now, what is this? Mm-hmm. We run our race according to faith, not mm-hmm. in this thing of worshiping angels and saying, "Oh, I've got a secret code." People talk about, "Oh, there's a secret code in the Bible. There's some mystery in the Bible, but there's not a secret code. There's nothing God's trying to hide." Jesus said he had done everything in the open there in Jerusalem. I hadn't hidden anything. Yeah. And so he's given us that. We need the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. We don't need angels to come and do that. And they think they're showing humility, saying, "Oh, we can't go to God on our own. We need to get in touch with the angels, and then they'll take our case." No, is Jesus our high priest, Alex?
Jesus is our high priest.
We don't need angels then for that purpose. Amen.
He is the mediator. And we don't need to go to angels. In fact, that's very dangerous, because Galatians 1:8, you know, says that Satan, who can appear like an angel, is to be anathema, you know, if a different gospel is presented. And verse 19, the fleshly mind, "and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world," and that's again another word from verse 8, the rudiments, the base things of the world, "we are dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world. Why? As though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances?" And it begins to list what some of those are. Here's the thing. If we're saved by grace through faith, why turn back to works, which minister deadness, not life?
Amen. Here you see in verse 19, not holding fast. Now, that doesn't mean quick. It means tight, holding close to the head. Now, if we hold close to the head, which is Christ, not the angels, not the rituals, not all those things that these Gnostics possibly, if they were not Gnostics, they were pre-Gnostic, saying that it's through knowledge that we can do it. Oh, we have special knowledge from an angel. We have special knowledge because we have beat ourselves, and during that time we got a certain vision. No, you hold to the head, which is Christ, and from that the whole body, the church, is nourished. Our lives are nourished. And what? Knit together. Alex, you see a little bit of the body of Christ here, the yes. church. We do need each other. We need to be a part of a local body of believers. And you say, well, I can't find one that's just exactly right. I don't mean to, I'm going to use my sarcasm for a moment, because it does come out. Brent gets excited when I use my sarcasm. There's some folks that's looking for the perfect church, and I tell them, don't join it. You'd mess it up. And and I say that truthfully about Bert Harper, too. Listen, you need a Bible-believing church. I know that. But you may disagree. Oh, they don't sing the kind of songs that I prefer. The preacher doesn't wear a tie. He comes too casual. Listen, all those things don't keep away from the worship with believers because of those things that you talked about earlier, Alex, those rock solid beliefs that you need to have, and then, you know, other things that you prefer. Is it wise to discern the differences between our preferences and our convictions?
Oh, absolutely. I think that you have to. You really. And, you know, like I say, the convictions are the... And by the way, the convictions that are the non-negotiables, and they're vitally important, but they're relatively few, you know? Whereas preferences can be endless. And verse 21... These rudimentary things where the ideas of man are set forth as doctrine, touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Verse 22, the commandments and doctrines of men. And, you know, I believe in standards and holiness and trying to be sanctified and live for Jesus. But really, God, His Word, and salvation by the finished work of Christ, I mean, these are the core essentials of the faith. And it's fine to have preferences, but we have to be careful about trying to impose those preferences on others as normative. And Bert, you know, here's the thing about church, and we always say this on Fridays. We always tell people at the end of the week, be in church on Sunday. And there, you're right, there's no perfect church. But remember that old saying, the perfect is the enemy of the good?
Oh, wow.
There's hundreds of thousands of good churches. Maybe not a perfect one, but if you want to, you can find a good church to get into.
And we're praying you're looking and you find it and you serve and minister there. We'll be back with more of Colossians right after this.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Oh, my hope is in Jesus. Thank God that yesterday's gone.
Amen. Brent, you went way back to get that one. That was on around 10 years ago is when we started hearing that one. And sometimes you can go in the archives and find stuff, can't you, brother?
Oh, I've got a lot of stuff to choose from.
While we're here, Alex, you hadn't seen it yet, but we got a note from someone in Loosedale, Mississippi. And they were talking about when we played, when Brent played, his eye is on the sparrow with Ethel Waters. They said we need to give warning to all the people who are driving when we play that, because the tears just flooded from their eyes, and they had to just hardly could see. So, and they were talking about music and what it does. And that's one reason we do what we do here. We want the music to do and minister just like the Word of God does. And Brent, that was good. His eyes on the sparrow.
That's right. Whenever you handed me that note the other day, when I first looked at it, it was very misleading the way she had worded it, because, like, oh my goodness, what did we do wrong? And then you read the rest of it, and it's like,
yeah. So, Alex, praise the Lord for you suggesting that, and Brent finding that, and I enjoyed that, okay? Gets us all three. Hey, let's dig in here. Verse 21, do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. Okay, not touching something makes me more spiritual. Me not eating beef or pork makes me more spiritual. Me not handling money, I let somebody else do that. Does that make anybody really more spiritual, Alex?
It really doesn't. It really doesn't. And let me say this, and now I'm really going to probably step on some toes. The church building itself, a building is a tool, really. You know, just like a sound system is a tool, and all the tools that the Lord has entrusted to us are for ministry and evangelism. And, you know, I was a youth pastor full time for 11 years, and I've done tons of youth work. In fact, I'm in Georgia right now staying with some wonderful, wonderful people. And tomorrow I'll be in a couple of different schools doing assemblies, talking to teenagers. But Bert, I've been in some churches where the fellowship hall or the facility really wasn't allowed to be used, because it was like, this room, the youth will mess it up. We can't let the youth do this or that or anything. I'm not saying we need to just not be good stewards and take care of stuff. But look, the special chair that was given by somebody's great-grandmother 25 years ago, I mean, it's all a tool. Whatever we have, we need to use it and put it in the service of the gospel. And, you know, heaven forbid that we, like, turn it into a museum for a bunch of objects, when really we have resources and things like that that we need to put to work for the gospel ministry. And it's not things and rituals that make us more spiritual. It's that we've come to Christ, put our faith in Christ, we're growing in Christ and bearing fruit for the gospel. Because, you know, verse 22 talks about things are going to perish and fall away. And what's also going to fall away are the ideas of man that are set up as doctrines. These things indeed have a show of wisdom in will worship and humility, and neglecting of the body, and not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Now, verse 1 of chapter 3.
Well, before we go to chapter, let me make one comment about chapter 23, Alex.
And, verse 23.
Verse 23. Yeah, I don't want to go chapter 23 of Colossians. That would be a great book, by the way. They have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion. Yeah. They have an appearance. Here it is, judging a book by its cover. Sometimes, some people, and this was the Pharisees, they looked the part, but on the inside, they were filled with dead men's bones. That's what Jesus said about it. Yeah. What you want to do, work from the inside out. Let God just saturate your life with love and peace, and feed upon the Word of God and prayer, and watch it work its way outward, where all these things are just part of your life. Your heart has been changed. He's taken the stony heart out and put that fleshly heart, a heart that obeys God. And so this is what you do, and you can't always judge about everybody. All right, let me give one example, and then we'll go chapter 3, verse 1. But I wanted to get this in. When Jesus said in the upper room, one of you will betray me. I didn't hear it recorded that anyone said and held up their hand. I knew it was Judas Iscariot all the time.
Yeah.
No, he had looked the part, played the part, but he was a demon and had a demon from the beginning. So, yes. Alex, look on the inside. When Samuel came to Bethlehem to find the king, Jesse's sons that marched out and strutted their stuff, he wasn't impressed. And yeah. Samuel said, "Do you not have another son?" He said, "Oh yeah, I got one more. He's not qualified. I keep him watching the sheep." Samuel said, "We're not going to sit down till he comes." So Alex, make sure we do the examination on what we are on the inside and work its way to the outside. That's what I wanted to say.
Amen.
About 23.
When we talk about revival, we've got to let God define what that looks like, really. So many of the revivals have come about among young people. And generally, like you say, I mean, when God does a great work, it's not exactly what we expect or when we expect, and it's not always convenient. I mean, really. The other thing I was going to say about, like, the people God chooses, would you have thought that Peter would get to preach the inaugural sermon of the church age? I mean, one of the last things that we saw of Peter, he was denying the Lord and even said a bad word, cursed, and yet Peter got to preach the inaugural sermon. What about the apostle to the Gentiles who would do so much to ignite world evangelization, the apostle Paul? I mean, if you had said at the time of Christ's resurrection, hey, there is a man not far away, and he's going to write half of the New Testament, he's going to absolutely shake the world with the gospel, they would have had a lot of likely contenders, but Saul of Tarsus would not have been one of them.
Amen.
And Bert, isn't it just wonderful how we serve the God who cannot be put in a box, and God, if we allow it, wonderfully blesses and surprises us, doesn't he?
He does. And that old song, I don't know if Brent knows this one or not, when we see a shepherd boy, God sees a king, come back King David. God is amazing. And I just want to praise him right now for what he sees in those who are listening. There's these people who are listening today, Alex. After spending a week with them, nearly a week with them at Fishbowl, these pastors and the people they tell, listen, I visualize them out there listening. And I want to just tell you, it's amazing what God can do with you.
But amen.
Do it with humility. Do it on dependence upon him and let him get the glory. Don't ever try to take the glory for it. Pass it on to the Lord Jesus Christ. He deserves all glory and honor. Let's give it to him even now. So when we get to heaven, we've already practiced up, and we've been doing it down here all the time, Alex.
Well, never underestimate what God will do through you, because, Bert, I want to say this. There are probably some Sunday school teachers in the making listening right now, and you have opportunity. There's opportunity, there's need, and there's call. And the last thing in the equation is your obedience.
Amen.
There are people, and look, we're all inadequate. Lord knows I'm inadequate. And none of us deserve the privilege of serving Christ. But if we allow it and we humbly say, Lord, I'm yours. Whatever I can do for you, dear Jesus, if you'll work in me, I present myself for your use. Folks, you can do this. You can sing in the choir. You can serve on a committee. You can be used by God to help bring that neighbor to a knowledge of Jesus. Yes, you can teach. You could lead a prayer ministry, and it could be just transformative. And so there's so much, And this is exciting. I think it's profoundly thrilling to have purpose in life. Imagine, as long as you're in the land of the living, you're a believer, good, okay, you can participate in Christ's great commission. And so don't use your perceived inadequacies as an excuse. None of us are adequate. You know, I never got to meet Billy Graham, but I know lots of people that did know him. And I mean, my goodness, like the Apostle Paul of our lifetime. And yet everybody that I've ever talked to said he was the most humble man. And just, he didn't know how God could have used him. And yet, God used Billy Graham and so many others we could name. But folks, as my friend Bill Glass would say, get in the game. Enough on the sidelines already. Get in the game, and God will use you.
And that's a former football player that said that, that would become that evangelist. By the way, today's the day of prayer. Richard's already at the phone. He's going to open them up, and if you've got prayer requests, we want you to call them in. If you got a question, a prayer request takes precedence on Tuesday. But while you were talking about those people out there that might want to be, that God may want them to teach a Sunday school class, sing in the choir, Alex, is our, if I pray right now for them?
Amen.
It just hit me. They're listening. Could it be you? Yes, it could. Father, I pray that what Alex and I have said about who God uses and how he is, he is profound in what he does and how he can enrich our lives and equip us to do the work that he's called us to. And Father, I believe there's farmers, there's secretaries that are listening, salespeople that are listening, truck drivers that are listening, whatever, students that are listening right now. God, I pray that you would impress upon them to say anywhere, anytime, anything, Lord, that you want me to do, I am willing. And I don't want to make my list. I want you to give that list to me of what you want me to do. We're praying this and believing this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Praise God. I think there's going to be a new crop of servants of the gospel that the Lord is calling forth. Well, chapter 3 of Colossians, this is such a wonderful transition. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And there have been a few songs written along those lines. I mean, what this is saying is walk in your true identity. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 3. Boy, there is so much we could say there. But Bert, if we're alive by grace, through faith, risen with Christ, then the pathways of the world, that's not who we are or what we're to do anymore, is it?
It is not. Now, I want to tell you, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 makes that transition. It's been giving us dangers of what, and now in chapter 3 and beginning, it's going to say, hey, this, since you know this, here's what you need to do. Follow Christ. Now, there's two words, and they have the right meaning. If all the other translations gets it, it gets it. One in verse 1 is seek. The other is an S word in verse 2, set. Now, what do you do? Seek those things which are above. Your ambitions. Your ambitions you're seeking after. The ambitions, what? Where Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Your ambition should be to please the Lord, to fulfill your purpose that he gave you in your life. Make this your ambition. Yeah, he may want you to be an attorney. Yes, he may want you to be an engineer. That's good. But your ambition is to please him in whatever area you serve. So set your seek him in your ambitions. Verse 2, set your mind on things above. Now notice, seek those things which are above. Set your mind on things above. Now when you set your mind, this is your affections. What you want, what is meaningful to you, what's important to you, what you know, what drives you. So here's what you want to do right now. Check your ambitions and check your affections. Are they for the things of God? Or are they selfish, motivated. So this is a really way to start off these next two chapters, to check your ambitions and your affections. Are you seeking God? Is he first in your life? Is he the one that you want to please? Alex, chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3, they set the pattern for the rest of the book.
I like the way you laid that out, Bert. That's really good. You are dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. This not just who is part of our life. No, Christ is our life.
Amen.
I mean, really. And he's coming again. We're going to meet him in the air. We're going to appear with him in glory. And so let's live in step with our true identity. And here's some of the steps to doing that. Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. Now, we need to talk about this, and we're going to have to unpack verse 5 in depth tomorrow. But right now, we have a break, don't we?
We do. 888-589-8840. Give us a call for your prayers.
Because of listeners like you, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies. Your $28 to sponsor one ultrasound doubled a baby's chance at life. Your tax-deductible gift saves lives. Please join us in this life-saving mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. There is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you wherever you are. There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex and Bert here. It's Tuesday. We do take questions and calls and Bible-related topics, as we always do. But on Tuesdays, we also try to focus on prayer, and there's certainly a lot to pray about. The number, by the way, is 888-589-8840. And as we queue up the telephones, 888-589-8840. Bert, guess what November 17th through 24 is? Do you know?
Let me see. There's a lot of things. A week before Thanksgiving. Is that what you're talking about, or is it something
it
else?
Is. But something very near and dear to all of our hearts, it's collection week for Operation Christmas Child. This is the Shoebox Ministry, Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse. And Operation Christmas Child sends shoeboxes to children around the world with some items they need that you can put in there and give. But also, every shoebox contains the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now, every year, to more than 100 nations. This is just amazing, and the gospel is in there. And so we just want to encourage people, individuals, and churches, if you would be a part of Operation Christmas Child. And November 17, I can't believe it that we're in November, but the collection week is coming up really soon. So you can help a child somewhere in the world find Jesus Christ and give them the joy of a Christmas present that they otherwise wouldn't have gotten.
Amen. If you want more information, you can go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. I pray that you will participate. Well, we've got people that are called in. Alex, are you ready to go to the prayer request? That number is 888-589-8840.
Where shall we begin?
Let's go to Mississippi. Jacqueline, thank you for calling.
Well, praise the Lord. I enjoy listening to you all every day, and I'm learning so much from just you and Alex. But most of all, just thank you all for the anointing and the Holy Spirit that comes through. I wanted to call in and ask for two things. I'm here in Mississippi, and we have 3,527 babies that has lost their lives. It's 15%. Here in Mississippi, and I want prayer for that, but also my immediate family. to, I have a son that teaches special needs kids in Atlanta, and he's been diagnosed what they said it looks like MS, and want to pray that God's will be done, and of course, all my family, that they will come to know Christ Jesus as their personal Savior.
Amen, Jacqueline. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your heart. Alex, we've been talking about God working on the inside. Isn't it awesome when we can hear individuals and that expression of faith and love comes through them as they share their needs and prayer requests?
Amen, amen. And I know there are so many physical needs, but there's spiritual needs too. And I, you know, just this week we got several emails from people that are praying for family members to come to Christ. And so, everybody, please lift up these needs Jacqueline has mentioned.
Okay. We're going to go to two, and then we'll pray. So mm-hmm. remember those, and let's go to Pennsylvania and talk to Helen. Helen, thank you for calling.
Thank you for what you folks do. I appreciate you. I found you about 3 years ago, and I just love this program.
Thank you.
I have a prayer request. My husband and I are both elderly, and my husband has problems with his knees. He's had them for some time. He just was denied treatment at one of the physicians, and he doesn't know it yet, but we're going to have to find another one. But he is a survivor 5 times. He should have been dead, but God has left him live. And he is a wonderful Christian man, and I just want folks to please pray for him.
Okay, Helen, thank you. We appreciate. Alex was in Pennsylvania. Was it a week ago that you were
yeah,
there?
Yeah, I was. And wonderful, wonderful group.
Beautiful state, isn't it? It really is.
It really is.
Well, let's pray for these. Alex Zard, if I pray this time.
Yes, please do.
Father, I thank you for Jacqueline as she called in, and we're just thank you that you have laid it on her heart to pray for all these children's lives. And man, Father, I pray you'd help. And God, for her family, those that have not trusted you, Father, work in their lives, bring people into their lives that would help them to understand their need for you. And Father, may they respond to you. May your Holy Spirit continue to draw them and convict them. For her son that may be diagnosed with this illness, Father, I pray that, again, Jacqueline said, God, reveal it and your will be done. But we're praying, God, that you would intervene in a way that would help and that you would get the glory, whatever that might be. We trust you. And, Father, I thank you for Helen calling concerning her husband. Sounds like he has really been more and an overcomer, all these physical ailments Amen. That's come upon him. And, Father, I pray for him right now that you would strengthen him, help him. May, again, their love for you be a testimony to others. When things are tough and people watch you, they might ask you, how can you have faith? And I pray that Helen and her husband could be able to give them an answer of the faith that is in them that's in Christ Jesus. And I pray, Father, that when we see that passage we saw in Peter, it was after the suffering that he referred to this, that when people see you thriving, even in suffering, Father, that they make them wonder. And I pray that would be the case with Helen and her husband, yes. and you would make it a testimony to others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Helen. Well, let's go on and let's go to Kansas and talk to Lisa. Lisa, thank you for calling.
Well, hello, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
I had a prayer request for the parish that I'm currently in. They had a change of pastors about a year ago or so, a little over a year ago. And this past summer, they canceled the Bible study on Wednesday evenings, which is a big hit to all of us. And so I would like to pray that they would bring that back for us and allow us to have that time together on the facility, in their facilities, because it was very convenient and it was very well attended. That is my prayer request.
I understand that, Lisa. Bible study in the middle of the week, Alex. Pastoring for 40 years as I did. Wednesday night, here's what I remember, and we'll pray, Lisa. It's a big step from Sunday to Sunday it helps you to have a step for Wednesday night and then on into Sunday. Wednesday nights can and has been very effective in prayer meetings, Bible study, choir practice, and everything, hasn't it?
Well, here's the question. If the world is getting worse and worse, why are we meeting less and less?
Well, listen.
I'm a big advocate for having Wednesday night church.
I am as well. Wednesday night, so vital. And so we're going to pray for that. And I've got that marked down, and Lisa, we're going to be praying in just a moment. Alex will be praying. But before we do that, let's go to John. And let me see here. Let's go to Karen in Virginia, because hers is a prayer request. Karen, go right ahead.
Thank you for taking my call, and I enjoy your show every time I can listen. I have a dear granddaughter who's 17. She's ranked number one in her high school senior class, and she's off to college next year. She's applied at four universities. We've had a brief discussion about keeping her biblical view of the world and not being swayed by liberal professors, but I just wanted to put an extra touch on her for her continued Christian walk at the university.
Amen.
Hey, what a prayer.
Wonderful.
Alex, you spent a whole summer trying to get kids ready for that, haven't you?
We do, and I want to ask for prayer as well. Like I say, here in Georgia, tomorrow I'll be in several schools, but also this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, in my home state of North Carolina, I'll be in front of, I'm told, 900 teenagers at Fort Caswell. The North Carolina Baptists have a wonderful fall retreat, and I ask for prayer like this woman's granddaughter. We're challenging these young people, number one, to know Christ, but then live for Christ and build their life on a biblical worldview.
Amen.
Not wokeness, liberalism, skepticism, but what the Word of God says. And so I solicit everyone's prayers for my speaking over the next several days.
Well, let's do that. Pray for Lisa and her church, mm-hmm. and then Karen for her granddaughter. Alex, would you lead us?
Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we pray for Lisa and the situation with the church. And Lord, I just pray churches across America would say, yeah, we need to have Bible study, midweek Bible study. This will feed people. And so we pray for this church and for this granddaughter who's going away to college. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for the Holy Spirit of God to guard the minds of young people. There is so much false teaching. And many of the people teaching falsehood, they don't even know they're teaching that which is false. But Lord, you and your word are true. Lord, we need a restoration of morals, gender, what the Bible says and what reality itself says, not what are the delusions and falsehoods of a broken world. So Spirit of God, raise up millions and millions of young people, this granddaughter included, that will know Christ and stand for his word. And we commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Karen. Let's go to Indiana. John, thank you for waiting. What's your question? I notice you have one. Go ahead, man.
Yes, sir. Got a question. First of all, I want to tell you guys, thank you for what you guys do. I listen to you guys every day on the way home from work. I used to listen to Pandora, Jason Crabb, and Old Country. Now I just listen to you guys all the way home.
Well, I just want you
to know you guys are a true blessing, man.
Thank you, John. It's a blessing.
I have a real quick question. So there's one verse in the Bible that says that one day we're going to all stand before God and give account for every idle word and deed we've done. But then there's another verse that says that when we ask forgiveness, they're thrown into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. So I'm just sort of confused on that part.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Alex, are we going to, those things that are idle words and thoughtless, when we stand before him, do you think they're going to come to our minds and he won't have to remind us?
Maybe so. You know, in Matthew 12:36, where Jesus said, every idle word that men shall speak, that we'll give an account thereof in the day of judgment. I really think that that's the unsaved masses, like the great white throne. Now, Ecclesiastes 12:14 says God will judge every action, both good and bad, including everything done in secret. Bottom line is this, for those who are unsaved at the great white throne, all of their sins, words, and deeds will contribute to the degree of condemnation. But for believers, we're not going to be evaluated, saved, or lost, because that's decided here. But for saved, born-again, heaven-bound believers, we are going to get rewarded everything we did post-salvation, or loss of rewards. And Bert, I do think there are some born-again Christians, saved, heaven-bound, and there's going to be some loss of rewards for words they said.
I think so as well. Let me share this. Where I get mine from, it's that people talk about no tears up there. That's not what the Bible. He says he will wipe away the tears. Now, why will he wipe away tears?
Because at first there were some tears.
There sure were. You remember when Peter saw Jesus, as Peter had denied Jesus three times, and he went out and wept bitterly. All it was looking at Jesus. It's going to be glorious when we see Jesus. It really is. But I have a feeling Bert Harper's going to stand before him and, Bert, what in the world were you thinking? You could have said this. You shouldn't have said that. So that's a thought, and I wanted to pass it on. Mm. Thank you, John. Great question. Thank you for listening. Let's go to another John in West Virginia. John, thank you for calling.
Yes, I've listened to you all forever, just about. And right now I need to pray for myself. I've got cancer that has come back the second time, and I'm in a nursing home now, and I can't even think of what to say.
Well, we're going to pray for you right now. Father, I'm praying for John. God, thank you for him and the spirit by which he calls. And Father, I pray for that cancer to be defeated. I really do, God, and whatever it takes. But I thank you that regardless of cancer, heart, stroke, whatever, for the believer, there's something on the other side of death that is far better. And I pray that you would give John all the confidence in the world that you're with him there in that facility. Father, may he be a witness to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We got two other requests real quickly. Andy in Georgia, go ahead.
Hey, brother. I spoke to y'all before. You know, I got a racing ministry, Powered by Christ Racing, get kicked off and dabbling with for a couple years. And I just want to get really sincere about it. The things I want to let go of, but the message I want to, even though the message I want to put out there is, I don't believe it's about being perfect, but it's being sincere and love and respect.
Okay, we got another. Tina, we didn't get to you, but we're praying a situation with her job. We don't know what it is, Alex, but God does, doesn't he?
He really does. He knows everything we need before we ask. That's Matthew 6:8. But it honors him when we ask, because he is our source.
Father, we pray for Andy, we pray for the situation, we pray for Tina and her job. God, may you reign in and through them in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm. Join us tomorrow. We're going to be in Colossians 3, starting with verse 5. Put off the old man and put on the new man. You'll want to know how God wants us to do that. We'll see you tomorrow on Exploring the Word.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.